Welcome back to the programme. The time now 29 minutes past the hour, and I'm joined on the line, as is always the case around this time on a Wednesday evening, by Sabina Trench, a career coach with Sliinte Careers. Sabina, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And as always, welcome to the programme. This evening, an email from NN. Hi, Sabina. I've just been offered a new job, but I'm not sure whether I should take it or not. I've been in the same place for a long time, and I'm a bit anxious about taking the leap to pastures new. What should I do? And as I say, that's email from NN.
Okay, right. Well, I suppose first of all, NN is in a very happy position in that they have a choice to make. And you think that, you know, when you are applying for jobs, that it's going to be all easy and straightforward, and you'll know what to do, you know, when you get an offer. But it's not as straightforward as that. And it's interesting that they've sent in that question, because there really is, and especially because that person is already in a job. So they need to do a bit of compare and contrast, I suppose. Comparing the job that they're in at the moment with the job that they will be going to now, and contrasting, I suppose, the pluses and the minuses between those two places and indeed those two jobs.
But how do they do that? Because obviously, on the one hand, this person has been in this current job for quite some time. NN, I don't know whether it's a man or a woman, they've been offered a new job. You know, I can understand perfectly well why the NN might be somewhat anxious. So what should he or she do that actually helps them to make up their mind? Because this can be a very, very difficult situation.
It can. And I would say it's almost like a sit down and a pen and paper type of exercise. And I would start, I suppose, one of the first places that people often run in this situation, and I wouldn't have it on the top of your page, but it can be the money. You know, it can be the bottom line in terms of, is this a better paid job than the one I'm in at the moment? And while I do, you know, include that in your list, I would start off first with the people, with the organisation and what you might know about it. Obviously, this person has been to an interview in the place. What was their general sense of it? Was it very rushed? Was it very, you know, did the people seem haggard? I mean, maybe in the interview, did you ask them at the time, you know, what's a good thing about working here, which is a good thing to do in an interview process. And, you know, if they say something like the holidays, you know, you'd have an idea of what, I suppose, the general atmosphere might be like in the place. You can get a real sense of a place when you walk in, even if it is just for the short period of an interview. And I would say, discount that at your peril. You know, if you don't get a good feeling about a place, or if you don't get a good feeling from the panel, especially if maybe your future boss might have been a member of that panel, you know, I would definitely say, watch out for any kind of red flags there. It could be a really positive experience, and that's great. So you just put, I suppose, maybe a little tick beside that, that you got a good feeling about the place. It could be the type of business or the type of organisation that you're going to as well. You know, this person in particular has been in one place for a long time. You know, they're stable, they're established, they know the run of the place. And, you know, there's a confidence that comes with that. And maybe there's a comfort with that too that can be quite nice. Is this maybe a new startup that is, you know, growing and developing, and it's really fast-paced and there's quite a lot of challenges there on a daily basis? And maybe that's exactly the reason that attracted you to the position, but maybe you aren't, mightn't be as comfortable with that kind of an atmosphere, that kind of work, that frenetic kind of work environment, especially if you're not used to it. And you maybe might be, to be honest with you, at a certain point in your life where you're not maybe willing to work till 7 or 8 in the evening to kind of get this whole show off the ground, you know? And but that is definitely worth looking at. Go on, sorry.
Not at all. Our NN says, I've been in the same place for a long time. Now, clearly, as you say, NN is settled, but there's also the important issue of existing colleagues, and clearly being in the same place for a long time, he or she gets on with those colleagues, we must assume they're good for him or her. There's also that likelihood, isn't it, that you might go to a new job for perhaps an extra 10 grand a year or whatever it might be, but very quickly realise that the sense of camaraderie that existed in the old job is not there at all for a variety of reasons, not least because probably NN won't know his or her new colleagues.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why I would caution against, you know, that kind of pure black and white money, you know, assessment. And it happens, people. And, you know, I know people that have gone for bigger jobs with bigger money just on that very, you know, for that very one reason, without really looking at the rest of it and regretting that decision quite quickly, you know, once they had taken the leap. Now, the one thing I would say about NN is that they were looking for a job or they were looking for a change somewhere. You know, when they started applying for jobs, you know, it wasn't, I don't guess that, unless it was a headhunt, but I'm guessing that they applied for that job, went for interview and were somewhere in their own mind or in their own plan looking for a change or looking for something new. So while maybe they have, you know, good stability in the place they're in and maybe some good relationships, it could also be the case that they feel that they've gone a bit stale in the place they're in and maybe the relationships aren't as good, or maybe other people have moved on too. That can happen in an organisation as well. You know, you start to see other people maybe moving on around you, and you know, the great camaraderie and that kind of thing is not there, is not as present as it maybe once was for them. So it would be a good idea to think, well, how did they feel when they got the interview? You know, even just to be invited to interview. You know, what was their gut? You know, what was their kind of their instinct, I suppose, when that happened? You know, and that will tell you a lot. You know, was it excitement? Was it, oh, God, I don't know what to do now? You know, you can imagine the range of feelings that might have happened in that very moment. But to trust the initial reaction that you had at the time, maybe when you heard you got the interview, were called to the interview, and indeed when you were offered the job. Because that can be as good a sign or an indicator as a lot of other things.
You raise an important point there. If it's the case, Sabina, that NN was actually headhunted, let's say for argument's sake, NN has been in a particular position for the past 25 or 30 years, very successful in that position, a huge benefit and advantage for the employer company, and out of the blue gets a telephone call, look, you're exactly what we're looking for, you tick all the boxes, we're offering you a similar position with us, but we'll be paying you X amount per annum more. That also presents its difficulties, because NN might have been perfectly happy in the existing job, and then suddenly this raises its head, and that can cause its own difficulties. Divorced from the fact that NN might have gone for an interview and decided, well, look, I need time, I think I need a change. Whereas in this instance, NN, the last thing on NN's mind would have been change, and suddenly this telephone call out of the blue.
Yeah, and that does happen, and I have had clients with, you know, in that very situation, where they have, you know, been, I suppose, it's headhunted, I suppose, at the end of the day. I mean, they probably had to do some kind of an interview or some kind of a soft interview at the same time, but essentially it wasn't in their plan at the time, you know. So there is an element of a challenge there for sure, because it's on their it's on their set of objectives is that they're looking for you, whereas you were quite happy in the organisation that you're in. And let's face it, if somebody is looking for you, it must mean that you're doing a good job and a really good job where you are. So really, you should try and pull it back and see how does this fits really well for them. They're looking for me. They know I'm good and I am good, which is great. But pull it back to yourself and say, okay, this is the right thing for them, but is it the right thing for me at this particular time? And it may not be, because this is, you know, as you say, it's coming in from the outside on top of you rather than you going out and seeking it. Taking a bit of that control back, you know, were you really that interested Or was it, you know, let's say a bit of, it was, you were, you're flattered, and you would be flattered. Gosh, wouldn't we all if somebody came looking for us? But you do need to think about that and say, that's all well and good, as I say, from their side, but is this really where I want to be at this particular time in my life? It might be too early for you. Maybe in some way, shape or form that you're in the middle of a really great project at the moment and you'd like to see it out. Or in terms of your own life stage, if this was somebody maybe with small children, that if they moved to a bigger organisation or another organisation, it does take a lot of time and effort to bed in. It could be 6 to 8 or 9 months. And, you know, you really do have to put in a lot of legwork initially to establish yourself, no matter how good you are, and to get up to speed. Because obviously, if you're at that level, you want to work at a very high standard. And does that suit you for the next kind of 9 to 12 months, maybe where you might have kids doing the junior cert or whatever it might be?
Indeed, there could mean, that's just one factor. It might be a situation where the individual has to move location, perhaps to Dublin. What about housing difficulties there? Can you sell your house here? Look at the cost of housing up there. I mean, there'll be so many factors other than the obvious, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you would definitely have to look at all of those from your perspective. You know, put away the flattery and put away the idea that they have come looking for you. But definitely you need to look at it from your perspective. And indeed, you know, you're after raising, you know, no matter whether someone has children or doesn't, the idea of moving to Dublin at the moment for somebody who's living, we'll say, outside of the main urban centres would be a huge challenge financially. You know, and logistically as well, you know. So all of that would definitely have to be taken into consideration. Because, you know, the availability of property in Dublin is at an all-time low by all accounts, and prices are at an all-time high again.
So it's kind of crazy. So to conclude, Sabina, for NN, he or she really needs to sit down and, you know, the advantages and the disadvantages, and consider everything way beyond the job itself, the salary, the increase in salary. There will be so many other issues that have to be considered before a final decision is taken.
Absolutely, to get the best outcome for them, and that's the most important thing.
So in this instance, you have to think of number one.
Yes.
Very good, we must leave it there.
Lovely.
Sabina Trench, career coach, as always, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening, and we'll talk again in or about 5:30 next Wednesday.
Thank you, Aidan. Bye-bye.
Good evening to you.